Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter on Church at Home. At Church at Home, we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. So let's ask the question, what is the purpose in your life? Why are you here? Why were you born? And what is God's plan for you in particularly? Because He does have a special plan for you. And for all of mankind in general. Do you think God made everything in vain? Or do you think it just came, you don't even believe in God. You believe in creation, creating itself from nothing. Try this one time. Have a bank account with 0.00 balance. How long do you think it would take for money to come in there, just waiting for it to come in or thinking, well, it's going to come in. Money's going to be there. Won't happen. Same way when people give themselves over to nothingness, people give themselves over to meaninglessness, people reject the Bible and they become just like the Bible says. The real leaders of this world are blind, blinded by Satan the devil, as we saw the last time. And it's just like another one that Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. The blind leaders of the blind, they're both going to fall into the ditch. So who are you following? What is your life? Where are you going? What are you going to do? And do you realize that there is a fantastic plan that God has for you? Yes, indeed, we'll get to it. But first of all, you need to understand what you need to leave and forsake. Because this is going to be something that is really true. You can't take any of your past baggage with you. You have to start clean and new. Let's look at the world. We were reading what Aldous Huxley wrote. Because he was looking for life that is meaningless. No purpose. He is one of the modern philosophers today. Let's pick up where we left off last time and see what he says about meaninglessness. They used that philosophy as an instrument of liberation from a certain morality. We're going to see, is that not the same thing that Adam and Eve did? And what happened to them? Just like we read last time, Satan the devil has blinded their eyes. So Aldous Huxley wrote, we objected to the morality because it interfered with our sexual freedom. Boy, is that not true? We did a whole series on obsessed with sex. And I got an email from a woman who said, oh, that is so true. I tried to meet a man online, and he sent me a picture of himself. And so did another woman that she knew. Men and women are obsessed with sex, and that becomes their God. That becomes their motivation. That becomes the thing that they are obsessed with. And they can't get their minds off of it. And so it was with Aldous Huxley. Oh, real smart man in the world. But you know, God calls all the educated that declare themselves to be wise, the elite, the internationalist elite in every field that there is in the world, economics and government and banking and religion and education. Oh, we know better. We don't want God around. But what do they teach? Beginning in kindergarten, perverted sex. No wonder we're obsessed with sex and know not God. When you align yourself with the religions of this world, the religions of men, inspired of Satan the devil, you are partaking in spiritual fornication and adultery. Because you've broken the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. So we'll continue reading this of the atheist Aldous Huxley, and then we'll read some of the quotes from other religions. Do they have a purpose? Do they know what life is all about? Do you? Well, God has the answer in the Bible, but we have to search it out. We're going to do that. We'll do it together. We objected to the political and economic system because it was unjust. So let's have communism. Everyone have the same. Isn't that the great movement today? Yes, indeed. There was one admirably simple method of justifying ourselves in our political and erotic revolt. Yes, we can do it. We could deny that the world has any meaning whatsoever. Now you talk about blind, leading the blind, and they're falling in the ditch. Not only did they fall in the ditch, they keep walking in it. And you know what a ditch is? It's an open-ended grave. Let's continue here. Similar tactics have been adopted during the 18th century, and for the same reasons. The chief reason for being philosophical was that one might be free from prejudices, above all, prejudices of a sexual nature, and prejudice against God. You're not free of prejudice. You are filled with prejudice, you see. It was the manifestly poisonous nature of the fruits of that system that forced me to reconsider the philosophical tree on which they had grown. Well, what tree did Adam and Eve eat of? They obviously ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, were blinded and deceived by Satan the devil. And from that time forward, with the religions and everything, man has gone astray. Very few. Remember, everything before the flood got down to one man and his family. And after the flood, it got down to one man, Abraham. Then his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob. And then everything got down to the one man, Jesus Christ, when he came. So sometimes it comes down to one man. Let's come to Acts, the 17th chapter, because the same philosophy that Aldous Huxley and all of the educated elite of this world have, who are in banking, who are in government, who are in education, who are in religion and theology, and you know, they all have to, what the Germans say, wasche die Hände. You wash my hand and I wash your hand. We all belong to this elite little club. And if you don't belong to this elite little club, we're going to ostracize you. We're going to crucify you in the press. We're going to accuse you of every evil under the sun. Well, they had this little club in Athens during the days of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul came there, and as he was waiting for a couple of his companions to come, he saw that the whole city was given over to idolatry. Idolatry of a kind that was so much that he was just torn inside to see, oh, look at all of these people, blinded, worshiping these idols and believing in religion and philosophies of men. So there were the philosophers of the Epicureans, which is, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. And the Stoics would say, well, now the best way to have religion is to deprive the body and beat the flesh and discipline yourself and worship demons and try and get power from an outside source. So when they heard him talking about the resurrection, they said, who is this babbler? He's preaching some sort of foreign god. What is he doing? So they brought him to Mars Hills, which was the argument center of the world at that time. All the philosophers, Plato, Aristotle, Pythagorean, all the philosophies from Babylon, all the philosophies from Persia, Egypt, all together. And we're so smart, we have all of these idols, and now we're going to sit around and argue, see who has the best idea. So they brought Paul there. They said, we want to know, because we like to hear things new, and we argue back and forth all the time. So let's pick it up here in Acts 17 and verse 2. Then Paul stood in the center of Mars Hills and said, men, Athenians, I perceive that in all things you are very reverent to deities. Oh, yes, we're religious. For as I was passing through and observing the objects of your veneration, I also found an altar on which it was inscribed to the unknown God. Oh, they didn't want to miss out on anything. They had this God here, the God of water, God of light, God of death, God of darkness, you know, God of the underworld, God of the upper world, God of the in-between world. But maybe just in case we missed one because we're so religious and we're so good, we're going to make an altar to the unknown God. And boy, isn't that the way it is today. Same thing. What has changed? The more things change, the more they stay the same. And history runs in cycles just like that. So here we are, back to the beginning. So he said, so then, he whom you worship in ignorance. Oh, what a statement to these enlightened people that was. Try it on the elite today. You're ignorant. You don't know God. Well, I've studied in this seminary for years. I know all about the Greek and Hebrew. Really, do you know what it means? What is the plan of God? What is the purpose of life? So Paul says, I'm going to tell you who he really is. He is the God who made the world and all things that are in it. Being the Lord of heaven and earth, he does not dwell in temples made by hands. And what was on Mars Hills? The Parthenon. All the gods were. The temple of Zeus. And Diana was down in Ephesus. There was Venus. And there was Mars. And Apollo. He doesn't dwell in temples made by hands. See, the truth is, with God's Spirit, he wants to dwell in you now so that you can dwell with him later on. That's part of the purpose of God. See? Nor is he served by the hands of men as though he needs anything, for he gives to all life and breath and all things. And he made of one blood all the nations of men to dwell upon all the face of the earth, having determined beforehand their appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling. That interesting, appointed times. That's why you go back and you read the prophecies in Daniel, and you read the prophecies in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the minor prophets, and you bring those and you read the prophecies of the New Testament and the book of Revelation, and it puts together one fantastic picture of the appointed times. And what are the appointed times centered around according to God's plan? His holy days, his Sabbath. And there's an allotted time for man to be deceived by Satan the devil, and the finality of it is, which we're seeing unfold before our very eyes, is a great, colossal one-world system. It's coming. That means return of Christ is closer at hand than it has ever been before. Now, here's why he put them where they were. And here is the purpose that God wants everyone to find out. In order that they might seek the Lord, if perhaps they might feel after him and find him, though truly he is not far from each one of us. No, God is not. And as I've said many times, how close is God to you? Well, as close as your knees are to the floor. Get on him and cry out to God. From your heart. Pray to God. Help me. Lead me. Give me understanding. Oh God, I don't know how to direct my paths because it's not in me to direct my paths to know what to do. I need your word. I need your truth. I need your laws. I need your way so I know which way to go. So Paul continued and said here, for in him, whether we believe this or not, every human being, even atheists. Now, this is galling, isn't it? They reject God, but notice what Paul says. For in him we live and move and have our being. Yes, every breath you breathe, every drop of water you drink, all because of God's creation. And he created you for a purpose. And he created you in such a way that you need to understand why you're made in the image of God. That's part of God's plan. Then he continues and finishes here. For as some of the poets among you also have said, for we are his offspring. Do you consider yourself an offspring of God? A child of God? Created by God through the process of procreation? We're going to see that. We're going to see the marvelous and wonderful work of God that He does in creating human beings today through that process. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we should not think that the Godhead is like that which is made of gold or silver or stone or a graven thing of art devised by the imaginations of men. That's what people think. Well, I saw a program the other night on History Channel. Now, you ought to watch it because that'll show you what it's like driving a truck going up the Himalaya Mountains to take supplies up to a dam that they're building up in the Himalaya Mountains in India. Narrow little roads. And what are the trucks? They took the goddess Shiva, put her in the truck, made sure she was secure. You know, here's their god. And by the way, Hindu religion, when you really come to understand it, is the most demonic of any religion in the world. And Deepak Chopra, the great philosopher from the East, is another one of the great elite educated whom God says is a fool. Because He says, you are God. You want to know who God is? Look in the mirror. Now, we've got that covered in the book called Holidays God, Holy Days Witch. See, there's a lot of information in there. And some people get scared because we have a skull and then the tablets of stone with the commandments of God. And they say, that scares me. Like one man said, well, I've got to send it back to you. My wife can't stand looking at it. And I said, well, send it back if you wish, but if she can't stand it, just cut the cover off and read what's inside and prove whether it's true or not, you see. Because you see, the realities of life are really what? Life and death, good and evil, perfect cover. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. For although God has indeed overlooked the times of this ignorance, He now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has set a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed, having given proof to all by raising Him from the dead. The whole plan of God is based upon the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, let me read you some excerpts of the purpose of life in various religions. It's quite amazing. Hinduism. The purpose of life is to realize that we are part of God, and by doing so, we can leave this planet of existence and rejoin with God. Not in the Bible anywhere. People read that and say, oh, that's really nice. See, but it's all based on your works, good deeds, bad deeds. God has it that we are saved by grace through faith, and then we are committed to the good works which God has given us to do. Sikhism, the purpose of life is to overcome self, align life with the will of God, become a saint soldier fighting for good, reincarnation until a person's karma is resolved, and then merged with God. See, because that's all a part of pantheism. God is everywhere and in everything, everyone. So we just find God, and through enough karma and going through the cycle of death and rebirth, and, you know, maybe you can be born a flea and learn some lessons, you know, and your last life was a little better. You were a rat. Since you were a rat and you killed the fleas that were on you, now you reincarnated as a flea, so you can try and work your way back around. Maybe you'll become a human being again in the next one. Hare Krishna say, the purpose of life is similar to the Indian religions. Reincarnation continues until one is united with the Godhead through the Krishna consciousness. Here's another one, Buddhism. Though they don't have a God that they worship, they do have a God that they worship, though they say they don't believe in God. So how can you have a religion if you don't believe in a God? But here's what they say. The purpose of life is to cease suffering by gaining enlightenment, awakening, and release from the cycle of birth, or at least attain a better rebirth by gaining merit to help other beings do the same. What does that mean? Now, we'll post all of these online and you can draw them down. The purposelessness of religion is what we'll entitle it. Stoic religion. The purpose of life is happiness, which is achieved by virtue, living according to the dictates of reason, ethical and philosophical training, self-reflection, careful judgment, and inner calm, of which the Apostle Paul said, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent of. Now, let's go back and see why we are made the way that we are. And here then we'll begin to have unfolded to us the purpose of God. And we will look at many scriptures that show us what we are, where we're going, what we're going to do, and then we're going to see the miracle of life from a speck of dust to a son of God. Why were you born? Now, when God first created man on the earth, there is nothing of all the creation that God has created like human beings. We are a special and unique creation. Now, the first man and woman were created by the very hand of God. But here's what he said. Verse 26, Genesis 1. And God said, let us. Now, a rabbi recently wrote concerning us, well, we don't know who us is. Well, Mr. Rabbi, if you would look at the New Testament, it would tell you, Jesus said, us is God the Father and Jesus Christ, that they may be all be one in us, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us. There's the answer. So if you throw away the New Testament, how are you going to know why we're here? And who are you going to know where the answer for us is? Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Isn't that something? Why are we made in the image of God? Why are we made after his likeness? Now you see, if everything you look at on the earth, and that's all a demonstration of witness that human beings are special. We walk upright. We have the capacity for love, thought, analysis, language, building, making, creating. All of those are part of the likeness of God, especially the part of thinking. But you see, you have to learn how to think correctly with the Word of God. Philosophies of men are not going to teach you that, see. So we're made in the likeness and image of God. So therefore, there's no such thing as a pantheistic God. God is not in the wall, he's not in the light, he's not in the floor, he's not in everything that is made. He made everything by his power. But he is a separate being who is God, and Jesus Christ is a separate being who was God, became a man, and was resurrected back to be God. And in that, we begin to find the plan of God and the purpose of why we are here. Now, why did God make monkeys and apes that look almost like us? Not for the reason of proving evolution, but quite the contrary. So that we can look and see, unless you have all the attributes of a man, being nearly what you would say at 90% of man, not a man, not a woman. That's to prove you're a special creation, not to prove evolution. Have you ever thought of it that way? Now notice, God wants us to rule. And he gave as a gift to all mankind this whole beautiful world and everything in it. And we are to rule over everything on earth God's way. Now we'll see what happened when Satan came along. What did Adam and Eve choose to do? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home and for going through these messages. We need to understand, why were we born? Where are we going? What is God doing? and how we can become a part of the true plan of God and God's purpose and destiny for us, having made us in His image and His likeness. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.